Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Second Amendment and Stun Guns Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 21, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Caetano v. Massachusetts without oral argument. Jamie Caetano was convicted of violating a Massachusetts law prohibiting possession of stun guns. On appeal, she claimed this law violated the Second Amendment by infringing her right to possess a stun gun in public for the purpose of self-defense from an abusive ex-boyfriend. The Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts affirmed Caetano's conviction, ruling that stun guns are not eligible for Second Amendment protection. By a vote of 8-0, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a per curiam opinion vacating the judgment of the Massachusetts court and remanding the case, citing its 2008 precedent, District of Columbia v. Heller, and its 2010 precedent, McDonald v. Chicago. The U.S. Supreme Court rejected the Massachusetts court's decision as contradictory of Supreme Court precedent. Justice Alito filed a concurring opinion, in which Justice Thomas joined. To discuss the case, we have Nelson Lund, who is university professor at George Mason University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Lund.
This case involved a young woman who bought a stun gun, which is similar to what is often referred to as a taser, to protect herself from a ex-boyfriend who was harassing her. She used it successfully to fend off an assault on him on one occasion. And sometime after that, she was stopped on suspicion of something, and the police asked her to open her purse, and she did so, and they found the stun gun in the purse and arrested her. She was convicted of violating a Massachusetts statute that forbade the possession of stun guns, tasers, and similar devices. The Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, which is the highest court in Massachusetts, upheld the conviction. The Supreme Court granted a petition for certiorari and vacated the decision below and remanded it to the court below. It was very short per curiam opinion from the Supreme Court and basically said, no, you can't thumb your nose at us. And they didn't use that terminology, of course. But what the court below had done was said, well, they didn't have stun guns at the time the Second Amendment was adopted, and this is a dangerous weapon, and so we're upholding the statute. And the court pointed out that this flew directly in the face of very clear language in the court's Heller decision, and it was unanimous. There, the court was just unwilling to tolerate a lower court completely disregarding what it had said very clearly. There was also a concurrence in the judgment by Thomas and Alito, which went over some of the same ground in more detail that the per curiam majority opinion had done, but emphasized that this complete ban on stun guns was itself in pretty clear violation of Heller, because it forbade the possession of these weapons, which are less dangerous than firearms. And, of course, Heller had concluded that you have a right to possess a handgun. And the Thomas and Alito basically said, a fortiori, if you can have a handgun, you should be able to have a non-lethal weapon like a stun gun. Now, to see the significance of this case, I think we have to also think about two other earlier cases, both post-Heller cases, in which the court denied certiorari, and there were dissents from the denial by Thomas and Scalia. And in both of those dissents from the denial, Scalia and Thomas emphasized that the lower courts were trying to evade Heller, and the court should grant cert in one of these cases to straighten this out. Now, I think what these cases and other cases in which we don't have dissents from denial show is that the Heller opinion is left the lower courts with a lot of room to refuse to go any one step farther than Heller itself had gone. And all Heller technically held was that law-abiding citizens have a right to possess some kind of handgun in their home for self-protection. Lots of the lower courts have basically said we're not going to go any further than that without the Supreme Court telling us we have to. And Thomas, Scalia, and now Alito have objected to letting them get away with that kind of judicial behavior, but they are a very small minority on the court, and an even smaller minority now that Justice Scalia is gone. I want to say one more word about the Cayetano opinion itself, or the Cayetano decision itself. I think one reason that Thomas and Alito did not dissent from the decision is that the young woman who had the stun gun was arrested when she had it in public. She was carrying it in public. And the court has not ruled on whether there is any, the Supreme Court has not ruled yet on whether there's any right to carry any kind of weapon in public. It's one of the most important outstanding issues after Heller and McDonald. And this decision makes it clear, if it wasn't very clear already, because the court has denied several cases involving public carrying of arms, that a large majority of the court, does not seem willing to take up that issue. So we don't know what's going to happen in the future, and obviously that's probably going to depend a lot on who gets to appoint Justice Scalia's replacement.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.